listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams, stop dieting so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is what it's all about. I want you to break free. I want you to liberate yourself from all of these thoughts about fat grams and calories and food and diets and all of that. I want you to just be able to live your life, wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you would like to call in and talk with me, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is eating at you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, emotional eating, any kind of unhealthy, unhappy relationship with food, the real problem is not food, it's what's eating at you. So call me and let me know what's going on with you, what is weighing on you, and let's talk about it and get to the root of it. And believe me, when we do that, everything with food changes. So I am here with my dog, Zane, who normally he is just lying down, doing nothing. Of course, right now he is sitting up, and I guess he knows I'm talking about him. So, hi, Zane. And in honor of Zane, I put together some thoughts about how we can change our relationship to food by being more like, well, like dogs. And so last week I talked about some ways we could do that, and I had a couple of ways left. And one of them is get enough sleep. When dogs are tired, they sleep. Zane sleeps all the time, except right now while I'm doing my show. Of course not. Of course he's not sleeping. He gets sleepy, so he sleeps. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But how many times have you been tired and you've eaten something sugary to stay awake? How many times have you used food when you really needed rest? Food is not the answer to being tired. Sleep is. So the next time you are tired, take a nap, get some sleep, get some rest as soon as you can. Another tip, express yourself. Last dog tip, actually. When a dog is happy, you know it. If a dog is not happy, you know it. Dogs don't think, oh, I really love this person. I love this person so much, but I don't want to show that I care. Because what if they don't love me back? What if I'm too much? What if they think I'm weird? Dogs just lick you and wag their tails and show you how thrilled they are to see you. They are expressive. If they are upset, they show it. They growl, they bark, or both. They don't think, it's wrong to be angry. It's wrong to be upset. It's somehow unseemly and not nice. I'm a bad dog because I have these feelings. I'm an angry bad dog. No, they just show how they feel. If someone treats a dog badly, they don't deny their anger. They don't think, I'm not angry at this person. I'm sure there's a perfectly good reason that person treated me this way. I have no anger. What's really upsetting me is the fact that I ate a bagel for breakfast. That's what's bothering me. I am actually mad at myself. No, they don't do that. They just bark or growl. If they're afraid, they lean up against you or they shy away or they show that they're frightened. They don't say, I am such a wimp. I need to toughen up here. Dogs express their feelings. After all, feelings are a reaction to a situation, not character flaws. You can't eat away feelings. You cannot push them away. You can't stuff them down. You can't drop them. You can't positive think them away. The only way to get rid of feelings is to feel them. And when you really express how you feel, you don't need food for comfort or distraction. So follow these guidelines, and I promise you will feel doggone better. Oh, I know. Terrible pun. Awful, awful, but I just couldn't help myself. So there you are. Those are my tips. to living. If you live like a dog in certain ways, you will feel so much happier, and you will not use food for comfort, for distraction, to numb, or anything else. And here he is wanting my attention, and I'm giving it to him because I like meeting his needs. What if you like meeting your needs as well as you like meeting the needs of others? What if you treated yourself as well as you treated your dog? What a world that would be if you would be gentle with yourself and understanding with yourself and kind to yourself and loving towards yourself and all of that. That is a world I want to live in. What about you? Again, give me a call, 323-203-0815. I'd love to talk with you and help you through and sort through whatever is going on with you. Okay, so I have some questions. These are questions that people have either emailed me, or they're questions from my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community on Facebook. If you are not a member of the community, go ahead and go on Facebook and join us. It's a group of amazing people from all over the world who get it and who are there to support each other and to learn and to be different in the way that they relate to themselves and therefore food. So why is food a tool used commonly to escape or deal with emotions? Why is food used commonly to escape or deal with emotions? Okay, well, why food? Why food is because when we are infants, when we are babies, our first experience of love, of safety, of reassurance, of relationship is the experience of being held and being fed. So, if you have had a baby, or you've seen a baby, or maybe you even remember being a baby, you're held in someone's arms and you feel safe and secure and cozy and good. And that experience is bound up with the experience of being fed. And so in our psyche, in our unconscious minds, food equals relationship. So when we think about comfort food, for example, we're really wanting to be comforted by another person. We want to be in relationship, but when people are unavailable dangerous, unavailable, people can be mean to you. People can be rude to you. People can reject you. People can be unreliable. Well, food, which then represents people, is always available and always reliable. And that's one of the reasons why we turn to food when we're upset, because it was the original time when we felt blissful. If you've ever seen a baby, especially a newborn, eating, babies just are so, they're in just such a state of bliss. And after they're done, they just kind of, they just relax and they're just blissful. They fall asleep or they just cuddle with you. It's what we're after, some aspect of that. That is what we want again. And so that is why we turn to food when we're upset. How can having a poor body image affect your relationship with yourself and others? Well, our relationship to ourselves forms the basis of all relationships. If we are mean to ourselves and critical and cruel, and we find fault and we're always saying, you should have done that better, or why did you do that? Or you have no willpower, you have no control, or why aren't you farther along in your life, or whatever it is that you tell yourself, or whether you talk to yourself in second person, or even if you say, why am I not doing better? Why did I not handle that well? Mean, harsh, judgmental, critical, when we're like that to ourselves, guess what?
Hello, Dr.
It's a lot easier to imagine that other people are going to treat us that way.
Oop. Dr. Nina?
Hello?
Oh.
Oh, I have a caller. So cool. I did not. Hi, Nicole. Good to hear from you.
Hi there. Thank you. It's interesting. Not interesting, but I want to share first that it's crazy. I feel like these past 2 days I've been doing a lot of emotional eating, and I like kept telling myself, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating at you. So what is eating at you? And I've been trying to like figure that out. What?
I love that. For those of you who are new listeners, Nicole was a frequent caller for a long time. And let's just say, Nicole, that was not what you were telling yourself. You were being the cruel, critical self, right? You were being mean to yourself. You thought it was about food, and you came to realize it wasn't. And now here you are checking in with yourself and asking, well, what's going on? So were you able to find answers?
Well, I have some answers. The thing is, with some of the things that are eating at me, it's kind of out of my control. So it's kind of like, not that I feel helpless about it, but kind of, that maybe I can't do anything about it. And so I try to reassure myself in the sense that, okay, well, these things are happening. Not really my fault, not really anything I can do. So why am I hurting myself over something I can't even change?
Because that's logical. Because that's logical. Just because you can't change it doesn't mean you don't have feelings about it.
Right. Yeah.
So if there's a situation going on and it's affecting you, but you can't do anything about it and you're helpless to do anything about it, then that could get displaced onto food, which you can do something about.
Right. Yes, that's right. So then I don't know what to do from that point. So then I don't know how to not resolve the feelings, but I'm trying to feel the feelings. I'm trying to deal with the feelings. I'm trying to exercise. I'm trying to do therapy. I'm trying to write down my feelings. And I still feel like
If you are expressing your feelings, writing them down, going to therapy, by the way, you cannot exercise away your feelings. Exercise only helps the physical manifestation of feelings. So if you feel really anxious and you've got a lot of tension in your body, then exercise helps with the tension, but not the emotions. Mm. So
how about the serotonin or the endorphins? Is that not a thing?
No, it helps a tiny bit. It doesn't really affect the thoughts, the situation. It changes, the endorphins change the physical, but not the situational.
Right.
And so
Also,
there's just a profound awfulness of being helpless and having something happen that you have no control over. That alone can be very hard and very challenging. Yeah. So if you are dealing with your feelings, expressing your feelings, all of this that you're doing, and you don't feel better, that means there's some other feeling or conflict or meaning going on that may be out of your awareness.
Got it. That makes sense. That totally makes sense. That's like, maybe something else then. And I'm just not aware that it's eating at me or whatever.
So what might can you share a little bit about what's going on if you feel comfortable so that you can, maybe I can help you get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. I just feel like there's so much. I don't even really know where to start. A lot of it is just like, I don't know if I mentioned on the show or not, but just stuff between my fiance and my family and just trying to work through that stuff. And it's still kind of being unresolved, and, you know, some Jewish holidays coming together, and it kind of being a time where you're supposed to be with family and not being able to be with, you know, my family all together, kind of wanting to just escape so I don't have to deal with it. That's like one thing. And then, you know, stuff going on with my family that I feel help, like separate, just like within my own family that I feel helpless about. Like I understand they're distressed, but there's nothing I can really do. So that's one thing. And then I think I mentioned on the show at some point about drinking and how with COVID, I kind of got into the habit of like after work pouring a glass of wine and kind of like unwinding and cooking, and, you know, it's kind of like my fun time. And it kind of got to the point where I was drinking almost every day, like wine, pouring wine every night. And so my fiance and I are doing a 30-day, I'm actually in week four, we're doing 30 days of no alcohol together. So that started eating at me because I was maybe using it to also manage emotions that I didn't know what to do. And so now I actually have to deal with them. So I can't use the alcohol to cover it up. I don't know, just so many things.
Okay, so let's just go back to the situation with your fiance and your family that you're saying that you're feeling helpless, but I wonder if you have some other feelings, because here you are in the middle. Maybe you feel resentful. Mm-hmm. Maybe you feel frustrated. Mm-hmm. Maybe you feel angry. Mm-hmm. Maybe you feel hurt. Mm-hmm. That because as I recall from in the past, before he was your fiance, when you were dating him, that your family didn't accept him because he didn't match the idea, the fantasy idea of who they thought you should be with.
Yeah.
And rather than see him and accept him and embrace him because of how he is with you and the fact that you love him and he loves you. So maybe you have some feelings about that need to be like if you're very angry, maybe there's some sadness that needs to be expressed. If you're sad all the time, maybe there's some anger that needs to be expressed.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of spot on in the sense that, he's like, your family never thought I'm good enough for you, and they're never going to think I'm good enough for you. And now my parents are at a point where they see that, like, I'm actually, you know, in love, invested in this person, and plan to, at least in this moment, be with him and hopefully for a while down the line. And they're ready to accept him, but he's like, you know, that he felt they didn't accept him from the beginning, and like all this stuff happened. And so now we're doing like family therapy, where we're going to therapy to like work through things so that we can, you know, heal and forgive and resolve and learn the tools to move forward and have a healthy relationship and all interact in a healthy way together. So I think that I've kind of been in the process of trying to resolve this, even though it's slower than I would have hoped. The process is slower, so it's definitely testing my patience. There have been difficult times. And I think when like birthdays come up or holidays come up, and, you know, those are like family things, and, you know, we either need to split up or not go or choose where we're going to go. My fiance and I, it becomes just difficult, you know, and it's like, I see my parents, not that they're that old, but like, you know, dad in his early 60s, mom in her, you know, mid to late 50s. And it's like, man, I don't want these holidays to pass by and just, or these moments and days to pass by and for there to be this like tension, you know, and distress. I want us to all get along. So it's just been a lot of work. And
it sounds like a lot of work, and it sounds like there are a lot of hurt and upset feelings. And yes, it has to be processed, but maybe you're also a little vexed with your fiance that now your family's finally come around and he's upset that it took them this long. Understandable. But right. Then how does that affect you? So there's some stubbornness on both sides, and at a certain point, yes, exactly. It has to be worked through, but do you want to be right? Or do you want to be happy? Like, I'm not dismissing how it feels, but like at a certain point, it's okay. Your family should have accepted him from the beginning. They didn't, but they do now. And so, yes, there are feelings about that, but now that they have, now he's saying, I don't accept them, in a sense.
Yeah.
And it puts you in the middle. And if you're thinking about drinking or you're thinking about food, you're not thinking about, oh, I'm frustrated with my parents. Oh, I'm frustrated with my fiance.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's spot on. I wrote down, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And then I'm going to write down thinking about food or drinking so I don't have to think about. I don't have to think about the real issues at hand or the real feelings.
Exactly. Uncomfortable feel. It doesn't feel good to be upset with your fiance. It doesn't feel good to be upset with your family. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good to be in the middle. Like on the one hand, you can understand his perspective towards your family, but on the other hand, you can now understand your family's perspective to, hey, now we've accepted you. What's your problem? So either they just flip flopped their stance.
Right.
And you guys are stuck. Exactly. And that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for empathizing with me. So I'm trying to focus on, you know, the things that are eating at me. But like I said, they may not be resolvable right away. So I end up, you know, kind of being, I don't want to say critical, but kind of being like, okay, why? Okay, if I'm aware that it's not what I'm eating and it's what's eating at me, why am I still eating? Or why am I eating so much? I usually don't eat this much by this time. What's going on? Like, oh, I do start being hard on myself. So I just don't know how to kind of get out of that, if that makes sense.
What I would say is that if you are starting to think about, oh, why did I eat that? Or why did I eat that? Why did I drink that? How much of this? How much of that? When you start having those thoughts, that is a clue. Now, you know, I talk about this work as we're detectives of the mind and we're looking for clues. Mm-hmm. And when you look for clues, detectives don't say, that's a bad clue. They say, oh, that's a clue. Mm-hmm. So I want you to think that if you're focusing on food or if you're focusing on how much you're drinking, you are avoiding and distracting from some resentment or some hurt or
what do I do in that moment?
You have to, like, when I say you feel, I think you might feel resentful towards your fiance. What do you agree with that?
I mean, a part of it, it's like, okay, dude, like no one's perfect. We're all humans. We all make mistakes. Like if you love me, like I understand you're hurt and I understand that you're agreeing to like finally come forward. If we go to therapy and do the steps and, you know, they learn the boundaries or whatever and all this stuff. But it's like, yeah, maybe a part of me resents him, but it's like, fuck, okay. Like, excuse my language. You know, your mom invited us for Passover. My aunt invited us for Passover. Like, I would like to go to both. I want us to be with your family. I want us to be with my family. Like, can we go as a couple? Like, who knows? Like, God forbid, like, a family member, like, you know, dies. God forbid. Or, like, something happens. And it's like, are we going to look back and be like, yo, like, why did we let that come in the middle of us being celebrating and, you know, the first year being engaged and all this stuff? Like, yeah, part of me is like mad at him or annoyed at him, or, you know, like this morning I said something to him, like, I said something to him about, like, it's his fault. And he's like, now I know how you really feel. And I'm like, okay, I didn't mean all your fault, but, like, you know. So then he pushed for us to go to his mom's for Passover. And I was like, no, like, yeah, you could go. I'm not going. I'm going to stay home. I don't feel comfortable going to my family alone. So we decided to go out of town. But that also feels like we're just running away or, like, not actually dealing with real life, if that makes sense.
It, and you're right. Rather than hash through it and work through it. And by the way, the strategy for something like this is to use my SET approach, situation, emotion, translation. Maybe it's not mine. I feel like sometimes like I made it up, but I didn't. I made up very for sure, but not SET. Situation, emotion, translation.
Emotion, translation. I haven't heard that one. Yeah, okay,
so Beyonce. So situation first. When you won't compromise about Passover, I feel, or we'll just call it that. When you refuse to compromise about Passover, and just we decide to leave town so we don't have to deal with this for now. I mean, listen, you're going to have to deal with it every year, multiple times a year. So you might as well deal with it now. I feel, and then you just, the emotions, just list the emotions. I feel frustrated, sad, powerless, anxious, whatever the feelings are. And then this is the most important part, the last part, which is the T for translation, which is, what does it mean? What does it mean to you that he's taking this stance?
Okay, I feel blah, blah, blah. This means to me, what does it mean to me? Like, what does it mean to me? I'm going to take a stab at it just to see if I'm getting this part right. It means to me that you may not be a forgiving person, or you may not compromise about other things in the future in our life, or it means to me, maybe you don't love me enough. I don't know.
Ah, see, now when you said maybe you don't love me enough, you went, I don't know, because that was too hard to think about or say. But it's the meaning. It's the meaning that is the difficult part. And it is the meaning of this that you are trying to protect yourself from with food or focusing on wine and all of that. So having a conversation that's less about, well, are we going to do this or are we going to do that? And more about, well, what does this mean? And how can we create a compromise? Because remember, in every couple situation, there are three parts. There's you, and there's you, there's your fiance, and there's the us, the couple. So it sounds like they're in right now. It's you versus him versus, okay, as a couple, how are we going to make a decision that in which we have compromise, in which each of us is going to give up a little? Would you like to only go to your family for Passover? Probably so. Would he like to only go to his family for Passover? Probably so. What's the compromise? You each go, you go to this one for a while, and then you go to that one for a while. That's the compromise. Or you go to this one this year and next you switch off years, whatever it is that you compromise.
So I do think that, that definitely makes sense. And this is all such good stuff. I think that I wouldn't mind going to both. Actually, that would be an ideal situation, because I feel like I would be happy. My family would be happy. His family would be happy, and then he would be happy that we're going to his family, and I would be happy that I'm making his happy. The thing is, I don't think he will he will not compromise and come with me to my family this year, because he has these like requirements about like going through the family therapy or whatever and wanting us to all, you know, go through that before coming together again as a family. So
then he is willing to sacrifice, then he is willing to sacrifice your well-being so that he can have a power moment. And
yeah,
that's something to bring up. That part of being a couple,
you are willing to sacrifice my well-being to have a power moment. That makes me really sad, Dr. Nina. It makes me feel just really sad because I think you're right. I think what you said is right. And it's kind of like, why would you want to sacrifice my well-being just so you could, you know, have a power moment or be right? Or, and then I think like you would say something about you don't understand, but maybe like I'm doing this for us. I'm doing this for our future. I'm doing this for our future family. Like, it may be hard in the moment, but you need to look at it big picture. I'm thinking about 10 years down the line, like grow up, or he wouldn't say grow up like that, but he would say something that kind of means that stopping. I'm just going to, can I cuss really quick or no?
Yes, well, of course.
Okay, he'll say something like stopping a little bitch or something. So I feel like stopping, like so sensitive, oh, like just be strong, power through. This is for our growth. Like,
no,
we need to go through these steps. Yeah.
No. I would say this is not about powering through, and I'm not being a little bitch. I'm having I have a feeling about it and a thought. And he's invalidating what you're saying. So, you know, when you tell me to stop being a little bitch, like it's all about what's logical. You know, he dismisses what's psychological, what this feels like, and and this is bothering you. And so, yes, Nicole, you feel sad because it's sad to be in this situation. This is something to work through. And to process rather than to focus on food as a diversion.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. That's very helpful. So I do think he dismisses my feelings often. I don't know what to do about that part.
That needs to be dealt with.
What can I say in it? Do you have any advice on what I could say in a moment where I do feel like he's dismissing my feelings?
You say, you are dismissing my feelings. You are invalidating my feelings, and you are calling them little bitch feelings, but your feelings somehow are okay. And you're validating your feelings as the reasons that you are taking this stance.
But and how about my feelings?
Yeah, how about your feelings? So Nicole, I'm so glad that you called. Please, I have another person behind you, but please call me back anytime.
Thank you so much.
And I'm sorry that you're having a situation, but it's resolvable. This is going to work through
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay. Take
Bye.
Good care.
Bye.
Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina. Hello?
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Erin.
Hi, Erin.
Can you hear me?
Well, hi. I can hear you. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How can I help you?
I was thinking, I had kind of an aha moment and I wanted to say thanks about it. And it's mainly from what the last caller was speaking about with her relationship, that sometimes you're trying to work through something and it feels so long and you feel kind of stuck when it's something that can't be resolved right away. And if that situation is causing like tension and stress and making you feel low, for me recently, I've been instead of turning to a glass of wine in the evening, which inevitably just leads me in a place of like being more tired and less able to cope with all of the things in life that pop up. I've literally taken some of your tips from the kick the diet habit in the section where you talk about making a space for yourself in the house. So literally I bought like a big cushy fluffy blanket and I realize I need a lot of hugs in the day because I'm just a person who does better with a lot of reassurance. And so I'm like literally able to sit on the couch and hug myself with a giant cozy blanket and not feel bad about it. Or like we talked about last time on the show, how I have tendencies to sleep drive myself. I totally do. So that was super helpful in recognizing that I'm not doing a bad job at life. I'm literally just putting more on my plate than I can physically cope with and coming to terms with that through your Diet Free Divas coaching on Thursdays and the tools from Kick the Diet Habit. Like I'm feeling so much better. So I wanted to say thank you.
Oh, and first of all, Erin, big shout out to Erin who did a little shout out for me. Yes, Erin is in the ditch. I'm mixing up everything. It's Diet Free Divas, in which we ditch dieting through my Kick the Diet Habit program. And if anyone is interested in joining the Diet Free Divas, reach out to me or go on my website. But Erin, thank you for that plug.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic. So sweet.
And like it's saving it.
And I just want to say that sometimes staying busy is a way of distracting from yourself. This is why nighttime eating is often a problem for so many people, because at night is when you're not as busy. And then these feelings that can come up at night when you're not as busy and you're not distracting yourself from you can kind of percolate up and you're more aware of them and they're uncomfortable and you don't want to feel them. And one way of not feeling them is to go to the kitchen and then focus on how could I have eaten that? And oh my gosh. So
exactly.
it's good.
Exactly.
That you're recognizing that and realizing that you're keeping yourself so busy, but that you also need those hugs. By the way, I suggest a dog. If you don't have one, dogs will give you hugs or the equivalent of hugs. There's nothing like doggy energy, right? Right, Zane?
Zane, so sweet. I also have one more little question. I was curious if you agreed with something I read.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Ask me anything.
So it was something to the effect that in one day, we only have so much energy
Yes, ma'am. Uh-oh. Right there.
Your voice just dropped out.
We have so much in our... Oops. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Sorry. It was something to the effect that your prefrontal cortex of your brain that is where you get all your energy for decision-making and for coping. You only get so much of that throughout a day. And it's really important that you kind of dole it out. Otherwise, by the end of the day, you're left with no more energy or power in that prefrontal cortex to have the willpower to not inhibit the behaviors that you're trying to avoid. Is that something?
I fundamentally disagree with that because that's making it very brain-based and about energy. And that's about the brain, your prefrontal cortex, your whatever, amygdala, whatever. These are all parts of your brain. And what motivates, what motivates emotional eating does not have to do with your brain. Although, you know, these days a lot of people would disagree with me because the new thing is everything's brain-based. But in my experience of doing this for 19 years, it's the mind. It's our minds, which also impact our brain. We have an interplay with our brains and our minds, but our mind is ultimately more powerful. The way you think, both consciously and unconsciously, our thoughts impact our behavior, not just our it's not a matter of our brains being like a car engine that needs gas or runs out of gas or runs out of electricity or whatever. It's something else is going on. Something else is going on in our minds, which is the way we position ourselves in the world and the way we relate to ourselves and others in the world. That affects going to the kitchen, because we're not just going for energy. We're going for distraction. We're going for comfort. We're going for so many different reasons. We're eating so much that your stomach hurts as a way of either diminishing your anxiety because you're relaxing your body, or more often taking emotional pain and converting it to physical pain. That is not in your brain. That is in your mind. And we can't change our brains, but we can change our minds. We can change the way we think. And that's the good news.
Right. That's good news. And then all the people on the thread were all talking about like using a glass of wine. Does that equate the same thing as food, basically? Because it's just another tool that you're using to distract? Or is that a whole different category?
Yes. It's just, it's called, if we're using the addiction model, it's called cross addictions. So that, like Kelly Gunter, who is my, co-founder of the Binge Free Babes, she wrote a book called You Have Such a Pretty Face. And it is about how she went through weight loss surgery, lost 243 pounds, had surgery to get rid of excess skin. I mean, the whole thing. And guess what? She had the body of her dreams and she was not happy. She developed a drinking problem. She developed a gambling problem. Why? Because she never dealt with why she was eating in the first place. So when she could no longer do that because of this surgery, she turned to another way to distract herself. So these are all ways that we have of distracting ourselves from pain, because we don't know how to relate to ourselves and how to respond to ourselves. And so we'd want to escape the bad feeling instead of coping with the bad feeling.
Right. This is such powerful stuff. I'm pretty sure this is helping a lot of people right now. I love it. Thank you, Dr. Nina.
Thank you. Thank you, Erin. I know you, I hear little voices behind. So I imagine they're behind you, but I hear little voices.
I'll look out to my patio in the rain.
Wow. That is commitment. Well, go back inside. Don't get sick. I am so glad you called. And I'll see you in our diva meeting tomorrow.
All right. I cannot wait. Thank you so much. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
You too.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Well, this is such a common idea that we're addicted to the substance. Like, oh, I'm addicted to the substance of sugar, or I'm addicted to alcohol, or I'm addicted to whatever. Even alcohol, by the way, it has a strong psychological component. Even drugs have a strong psychological component to that addictive element. So I wrote a book, I co-edited a book and wrote a chapter on food addiction with my mentor, Dr. Salman Akhtar, and it's called Beyond the Primal Addiction. And it's all these different addictions, food, work, shopping, internet, gambling, etc., all of which are ways of coping that end up hurting us. And that's why I call binge eating, stress eating, emotional eating, whatever you want to call it, I call it a frenemy, because it does something for you. It also hurts you, but it is helping you in some way. It's helping you escape. It's helping you numb. It's helping you feel better temporarily. It's rewarding you. It's doing something for you, even though it is, of course, also hurting you. And so to have some compassion for yourself and to ask yourself, well, what is this doing for me? What is going on with me? What is this? What is this resolving for me? What problem is this solving? And that's what we don't want to look at, just like Nicole really didn't want to look at and who can blame her, that, you know, her fiance was being stubborn, being not really thinking about her. She didn't want to look at that. It's a lot easier to look at, oh, look at what I'm eating, than look at this situation that's really problematic and I can't do anything about it except process it. And once you get used to recognizing what you are feeling and then responding to yourself instead of escaping from yourself, numbing yourself, you don't need food except for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks, right? You don't need food to make you feel better emotionally, because you can do that yourself. You could be there for yourself in a different way. One thing that I see a lot, and that I talk about a lot, is this notion of observing, being observed and observing yourself. Oh, you're so angry, or, oh, why are you crying again? Or, you know, something like that, being observed. And then we learn to observe our own emotional reactions rather than, you're crying, you're sad, how can I help? Right? Or, oh, you're mad, what's going on? That's a response as opposed to just an observation. And we need to learn as a culture that it is okay to feel feelings. We are human beings and we have emotion. We have emotional responses to situations. That's part of being human and part of being really alive on this planet. Because it's not just humans that have emotional responses, but we alone have the ability to nurture ourselves with words. We have the ability to respond. And so practicing responsiveness is vital, crucial. Changing your relationship to yourself changes everything with food. And as I was saying earlier, our relationship with ourselves is the basis of all relationships. If we're mean to ourselves and someone mean comes along, we're like, oh, you know me really well. You're so familiar. You sound just like me. But when we are kind and responsive to ourselves, and when we're nice to ourselves, when we treat ourselves like a friend instead of being critical, and someone critical comes along, we're not going to have anything to do with that person. It's like, no, no, no. You're being critical and judgmental and mean. I don't want you in my life. Thank you very much. And then we can have relationships with other people who are kind, responsive, and nice, instead of sort of unbeknownst to ourselves, seeking out those familiar mean girls and rejecting guys and, you know, all of that, hoping that they're going to be nice to us or that they're going to change the way that they relate to us. So that's why changing your relationship with food, it comes from changing your relationship with yourself, because when you can have a way to be kind to yourself, when you have other people in your life who you can have fulfilling, satisfying relationships with, you don't need food as a substitute. So there you have it. Again, let me see if I don't have much time left. I just want to say one other thing. Another question I get a lot of is, you know, what do I do? What do I do? How do I respond to myself when I'm upset? It's a little bit of a flawed acronym. It stands for validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. Really, first you acknowledge and then you validate, but that doesn't work for the acronym. So validate and acknowledge kind of go together. And when you feel something, it's, yes, of course I feel this way. I feel this, acknowledging it. Of course I do. Who wouldn't feel that way in this situation? And even if nobody would, I feel this way for the following reasons. It is hurtful. It is upsetting. You know, why do you feel that way? Validate it and then reassure yourself. I've been through tough things before. I can get through this. I'm learning how to communicate in a new way. I can do so here. And of course, the you stands for yourself. So reassurance is really important. I've got this. I can do this. I can get through this. This is hard, but I've been through hard things before and I can get through this. And you will. So that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me, her and the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I am here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, or you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you get podcasts. If you're interested in the Diet Free Divas or Binge Free Babes or any of my programs, or just head on over to my website, Dr. Nina Inc., drninainc.com. You can also, of course, join me for free on Facebook at Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. Go ahead and sign up and join in, and you can ask me anything. And have a wonderful week. Be safe. Be healthy. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.